is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 26, What You Want. As soon as Shang Qinghua returns to his leisure house, he allows himself the indulgence of collapsing face down on the sofa. What a mission! So much happened, and he kind of feels like he understands even less than before. He really hopes that the system isn't going to feed him too many more of these exhausting new missions. In the safety of his leisure house, which has pretty much every protection he could put down without the whole thing bursting into flames, Shang Qinghua finally removes the Weeper's eye from its bag in the pocket near his chest. It's so creepy just to look at it, really. Sort of murky on the inside and with a slowly shifting yellow glow. So far, his impression of it is that it's not that helpful at all, really. Its unnerving discernments are mostly annoying. What am I supposed to do with this now, huh? He asks. Beginning next mission stage. Death of the Author, Part 2. The Secret Basement of Shang Qinghua. Mission objective, place the Weeper's eye on the pedestal. Shang Qinghua slowly sits up on his sofa. He stares at the pop-up window for however long it takes his brain to roll over completely. I don't have a fucking basement, he says finally. The pop-up window doesn't change, even though he doesn't have a fucking pedestal either. Shang Qinghua decides immediately that he's not digging himself a secret basement here. Nope, no home renovations are happening. He's not buying himself a pedestal either. Ding! Shang Qinghua turns around to see another pop-up window next to his wall in the other room, just above his desk. It's very small. There's not even any words on it. Just a pointing icon. It's pointing at the dried, pressed, and framed flower. The system just fucking waits for him to make the first move. Gingerly, Shang Qinghua peels himself off the sofa and approaches the second pop-up window. The first pop-up window with the new mission waits in the middle of the room behind him. He can't see anything different about the flower itself. He has no idea what the fuck he's supposed to be seeing here. The pop-up window just keeps hanging there. So Shang Qinghua ends up taking the flower down to look at the back and... the wall behind it. That's... cliché. There's a round metal plaque there with an indent in the shape of... Shang Qinghua steps away to pick up his spiritual seal. The token that can mark him as the Lord of Anding and come back. Yep, his spiritual seal fits perfectly. Like a damn key. It practically clicks in. Nothing happens until Shang Qinghua pushes a little spiritual energy into the seal. There's a rush of spiritual energy, and then Shang Qinghua is gaping at a fucking hole in his home office floor. A chunk of his floor is gone, replaced with a ladder down into the darkness below, which he is 100% sure didn't exist before. Oh, surprise home renovations now. Okay. The second pop-up window blips away, but the first one keeps hanging there in the other room. I don't want to go down there, he announces to no one. Because he doesn't. He really doesn't. Except, if he doesn't find out what's down there now, it's going to bother him forever. There's no way he's going to be able to sleep now on top of some secret basement without knowing what's in it. Except this is a new mission stage. He doesn't want to tackle that now. He doesn't want to find out what new horrible things the system has in store for him down there. Xiang Qinghua is tired and needs his beauty sleep for one thing, which is a much more important issue in his case than for all of these unfairly flawless cultivators floating around the place. Xiang Qinghua paces in circles around the room, then around his entire house. But the system mission window doesn't go anywhere, and neither does the entrance to his new secret basement. Xiang Qinghua points the Weeper's eye at it like the item will protect him. Bro, you tell me if there was anything creepy down there, right? You'd give me better forewarnings than prepare yourself, and better tips than survive, right? Oh, what am I talking about? Of course not. Not a word now, of course. You don't do anything a hardworking transmigrator could actually use. No, this system doesn't hand out good loot. Xiang Qinghua tucks the Weeper's eye back against his chest and grabs his sword to climb down the ladder. System, the shittiest of bros, he mutters. If you have put a fucking death trap in my own fucking house, I will do something. I'll fuck you up somehow. It's totally out of character for this to exist, you know. Deduct yourself some continuity points, asshole. There are some weird and dangerous caves below Changchong Mountain Sect, so Xiang Qinghua doesn't know what he's expecting. He finds one large room, with finished walls, a finished floor, and his own leisure house floor as the ceiling. Not a cave system, just one room. A basement. A flick of spiritual energy lights up some hanging lanterns, which have a soft blue glow. And Xiang Qinghua barely manages not to flinch at the sight of a vault? A storage room? It's a single room full of assorted spiritual artifacts, most of which look cracked or misshapen, with a workbench and a second desk off to one side. It's completely still and silent down here. Maybe a little cold. What the fuck? Xiang Qinghua whispers. There's a wide, nearly flat, dull metal bowl on the floor, about 2 meters in diameter, with demonic characters around the rim. It's been cracked cleanly in half. Xiang Qinghua walks around it, noting a statue bust where the lower half of its face has somehow fallen off, a broken tortoise shell, a box of bones and claws, a skein of thread, dried yarrow stalks on the desk, coins sitting on a scale, a box of shattered crystal, and a tiny bronze automaton of a scholar holding a pen, with half the gears laid out carefully on cloth. There are charts on the walls, too, astronomical and anatomical mostly, star charts with astrological notations, diagrams of the human hand and of different facial structures. There's a small shelf of scrolls, too. What the fuck? Xiang Qinghua repeats. Fortune-telling had its place in Proud Immortal Demon Way, but airplane shooting towards the sky hadn't really had a very high opinion of the practice, and it might have shown. It has its place in this realized world, too, but Xiang Qinghua has never been interested in seeking its realizations out here because, firstly, he already knows the general future. Secondly, he's more likely to run from anyone claiming to be clairvoyant than invite them to guess at his many secrets. No, thank you. He doesn't need or want that kind of extra trouble in his life. The benefits aren't worth the risks. Well, there's that pedestal, he thinks. There's a chipped wooden pedestal with a bowl to hold the Weeper's eye. Xiang Qinghua was more than ready to throw the thing away already, but he's feeling kind of contrary right now. This makes me look crazy, bro, Xiang Qinghua complains to the system. It really does. I already have to be careful about talking to the secret world-controlling system that lives in my head, and this is not making me look any more stable. Where did this come from? Where the fuck did I even get it? Oh, things are coming together in Shang Ching Hua's head, and he doesn't know if he really likes the picture. On one hand, it's always nice to actually have someone or something to blame for transmigrator things beyond the fucking system. On the other hand, he really doesn't know how the fuck he's supposed to sleep at night with a full-length, polished silver mirror with an ornate golden frame under his house. Can he get a new leisure house? He's the Peak Lord. He can do that. He's pretty sure. He can totally go, "Bro, I want a second house. I'm important now, so I deserve and need another house just to store my ego. I'm going to use sect funds to build a second house for my mental health. Cool? Cool." Shang Ching Hua ends up in front of the silver mirror, looking at his own tired reflection. Maybe he should rehearse how he's going to explain this to Peerless Cucumber when he shows up, needing to sleep on his fellow transmigrator's floor. "Bro, I had a bad dream," he can say. "Well, no, actually, the system renovated my house to make me look like someone who uses special incense and other shit to give myself bad dreams about the future. So now I don't want to stay in my own house." He doesn't flinch at the sound of another digital ding, but he does sigh. New mission. Death of the author. Bonus. Through the looking glass. Mission importance, optional. No penalties for failure. Mission objective, enter the looking glass and observe what you find there. "Ah, that's new," Shang Ching Hua says. "Well, the way forward is clear. It says optional. That means he's not doing it. Optional actually means don't fucking do it. Everyone knows that." He turns away from the mirror, only for a second system window to pop up in front of him. Only the design of this one is different. Familiar, though. It takes Shang Ching Hua a second to place it as Peerless Cucumber, as Shen Yuan's transmigration system. Users cannot be injured, killed, or trapped inside the looking glass. The user will not be able to touch or be touched by anything inside the looking glass. The user will be returned from the looking glass within 30 minutes, unharmed. A substantial point reward is attached to this bonus mission. "Right," Shang Ching Hua says. This second pop-up window then shifts colors and is ruthlessly closed before his eyes. "Ah, wow. Shang Ching Hua kind of feels like he just saw someone get murdered here." "How many points?" he asks finally, reluctantly curious. He's not in a bad place for points, exactly. The world update was expensive, but the system returning all those points lost to plot holes and continuity errors over the years after its patches didn't make the event a total disaster on that front. Still, with the plot ahead of him, plus whatever new stuff the systems have cooked up, he can probably use as many points as he can get here. He still doesn't want to step inside the creepy mirror, though. It's got a crack. It's probably all fucked up. The number of points is substantial enough to be tempting, even though he really should know better. Several hundred points for a mission where he can't even be touched? What is this? Shang Ching Hua interrogates the system. His shitty, no-good system is a little more forthcoming, possibly because it doesn't want the other system butting in again and doing its job better than it does. No, the mirror will not cause him to go insane. No, he won't be possessed. No, it won't exact a price like his eyesight or his golden core or his soul. No, there won't be any after effects. No, the system won't just tell him what to expect in there, but it will very, very begrudgingly admit that he'll come out of it without a scratch in every way he can think to ask about. This is apparently a character-building quest. Zhang Chenghua looks again at the creepy fucking mirror. "Oh, I'm going to regret this," he says. There's a palace on the other side of the looking glass. After the silver gives way under his hand, like a strange, clinging liquid, the blue glow over the dark basement twists into red and gold extravagance. As a peak lord of one of the most famous and powerful cultivation sects out there, Zhang Chenghua isn't unfamiliar with ostentatious displays of wealth, but this floor-to-high-ceiling decoration puts pretty much everything else he's seen to shame. This place is fucking opulent, bordering on obscene. And yet, he's pretty sure that this is just some random hallway. It's also got a very demonic edge. The toothsome monstrosity of a leviathan skeleton hanging from the ceiling, at least 20 meters long, posed like it's lunging through water with its horrifying jaws open, really gives that away. But there are other details, like the gilded monster horns repurposed as light hangers, the wall engravings totally unshy about their depictions of violence, and the dark, water-patterned stone beneath his feet. As Zhang Chenghua understands it, humans try their best. They really do. But the demon realm has them effortlessly outstripped in exhibitions of personal conquest on nearly every level. Wow. Zhang Chenghua feels as though he's left his body behind him. When he looks down at his own hands, he's, sort of insubstantial looking if he squints. When he turns around, there's no sign of how he came here, which means there's no clear way out. His heart turns inside out with horror before he gets a pop-up window. Mission timer started. Death of the author. Bonus. Through the looking glass. Host now has 30 minutes to complete the mission objective before being automatically returned to the previous world. Can I, get a more specific mission objective then? Zhang Chenghua asks, only for the pop-up window to close on him without an answer. Guess not. That's fine. Fuck you, but that's fine. I'll just look around this creepy mirror world that's probably some weird version of the future, huh? I'll just do that. Zhang Chenghua honestly considers staying in this one hallway the entire time. But that plan is foiled by voices headed his way. He hurries in the opposite direction, on the lookout for a good hiding spot. Behind a golden pillar, underneath a table carved from a giant monster's skull, he's not picky, though he gets a little distracted by the scenery. This place is over the top for sure, but none of it is really bad looking. It has an eerie, often menacing beauty. It makes Zhang Chenghua wonder about what the ice palace looks like. He's always been curious about that. He may be the author god of this world, if this is still his world, that is. But he really can't be credited with all these minor details. He was too busy writing terrible porn and contrived face-slapping plots to write such intricate layouts for proud immortal Demon Wei. Readers weren't paying airplane shooting towards the sky for his interior decorating skills. The palace is actually many palaces, all connected, and it seems to sprawl onwards forever. It's like a maze, really, an enormous and beautiful cage. Zhang Chenghua accidentally runs into some servants, some lesser demons, some humans, but he doesn't freeze and they pass him with barely more than a glance. He'd really prefer if they couldn't see him at all, but acting like he belongs here, like he has a real purpose here, seems to fool most of the few people he can't dodge entirely. Plus, all the others moving about in the distance, down the long hallways, across glittering gardens, between rooms of treasures and trophies. So much space, and there doesn't seem to be a single dark corner. Who designed this place? This is very unwelcoming to lurkers and other intruders. He has an idea of where he is. This idea seems more and more likely the more time he spends here. He knows he's right when he walks away from some kind of important-looking procession, stepping into the next room at the same time as someone else, who looks directly at him and doesn't look away. Shang Qinghua freezes in the doorway and doesn't let himself stare, so much as he can't stop himself. Oh no, Shang Qinghua thinks. There's a man standing in front of him, tall and broad-shouldered with an ageless youth, but a sharp gaze and no youthful roundness to his features. His curly black hair has been cursorily held back from his face by a golden ornament, but is otherwise loose. He wears his ornate red and black robes well and correctly, but like a man with 100 more. The man flicks a strong hand at the doors behind Shang Qinghua, which slams shut with a bang, like he's done this 1,000 times before. He smiles unkindly. Shang Shishu, he says, like he's tasting the title, considering tearing it apart with his teeth.
So it's true. How curious.
There's no way for Shang Qinghua to count how many times he's seen this face before, but he's never seen it like this. The man looks like an emperor. He looks like a god. The red mark of the heavenly demon burns like a crown in the middle of his forehead. Shang Qinghua takes an unwilling step back.
What are you afraid of?
The original Luo Bingha says, still smiling.
We're only talking.
How can a glutted man starve? He has never been sated for long.
I'm eager to know how Shang Shishu came to be here,
Luo Bingha says, still not moving, but still so threatening. The lights in the room flicker.
Mobei told me he killed you. Mobei isn't one to lie, but there is a first time for everything. Are you dead, Shang Qinghua?
Honestly, he kind of feels like it. Shang Qinghua doesn't answer. He's too busy thinking, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck!
Are you here for revenge?
Luo Bingha muses next.
Mobei isn't here to see you.
Oh, thank fuck for that, Shang Qinghua thinks.
Or are you a stranger who has been so foolish as to borrow the wrong face?
That's not wrong, in a way. Luo Bingha tilts his head.
Can you speak?
Shang Qinghua's heart is in his fucking throat, so no, not really. He doesn't say anything, and airplane shooting towards the skies, protagonist tisks in disapproval.
I remember that Shang Qinghua always had a story ready. So tell me your story, Shishu.
Luo Bingha orders, finally drawing the sword at his side. Or else peel off your stolen face and show me who you really are. Airplane shooting towards the sky wrote a lot of words on the subject of the Xin Mo sword. None of them do the sword any justice. It's really, impressive how it manages to gleam with menace at the same time that it kind of looks like it's eating the air around it. Luo Bingha even takes the time to tilt the sword this way and that, so Shang Qinghua can admire it properly.
Do you know what this is?
The jester says. Oh, he was so right when he said he'd regret this. I'm very sorry for the intrusion, Shang Qinghua manages, holding up his hands for mercy.
It's much too long a story to tell, unfortunately, and I'll have to go before I can even begin. Please allow this dead man to leave the same way he... Ah! Luo Bingha levels Xin Mo at Shang Ching Hua's throat. Worth a shot, Shang Ching Hua thinks, though it never would have worked. No, Luo Bingha decides. Stay, Shushu, please. It's not often that I get to entertain ghostly guests. Unless, of course, you aren't dead. In which case, I'll take off that face for you. Even if you are the real Shang Shishu. Luo Bingha's smiling expression has sharpened to the point where Shang Cheng Hua couldn't call that a smile at all. When snarl is so much closer. I don't look upon liars and traitors any better than Mobe does, you know. And of course you know Mobe's opinions on disloyalty intimately. Shang Cheng Hua, my late traitorous Shishu, I really can't think of any good reason for a loyal servant to be sneaking around like this. Enlighten me, Shishu. How much do you need left of yourself to tell your stories? Luo Bingha asks almost conversationally. My Shizen has taught me not very much is needed at all. Xin Mo drops lower and presses lightly against Shang Ching Hua's chest. The tip goes through it. Through it harmlessly. Shang Ching Hua can't be touched. Oh, thank fuck, Shang Ching Hua thinks. Luo Bingha's expression turns into something hideous in its surprise. Before the snarl is quickly forced back into the shape of a smile, he withdraws Xin Mo and begins sketching in the air with his hand. His eyes are burning red, too. No one has his permission to hurt him again. No one has his permission to have the power to do so. Which techniques did you use to call back your soul, Shishu? Luo Bingha says lowly. Enlighten this responsible disciple. Some transgressions in this world are so great that they cannot be rewarded with a restful death, Shishu, when just punishments have yet to be served out in full. Though there are pains that even dead men can feel. Shang Ching Hua knows that. He came up with most of them. He doesn't wait around to find out what his fully fledged, blackened protagonist intends to do next. His hand clips into the door behind him, and then he falls through completely, turning on his heel and running down the ostentatious palace hallways at a full sprint. He can hear the doors smashing open behind him. He can't look over his shoulder, but it totally sounds like the demon emperor behind him just fucking kicked them off their hinges. Shang Ching Hua runs through closed doors and solid walls. He has no idea where he's going. Away from here, in the general direction of the hallway where the system dumped him. There can't be that much time left on the mission timer, but it's really not running out fast enough here. There's a crash like shattering glass, and then Luo Bingha is in front of him, using some sort of technique that washes over Shang Ching Hua with blindingly white light. It looks like the sort of technique that should hurt just to see used on someone else, that burns the skin and the bones and the soul, but it passes through Shang Ching Hua harmlessly. Shang Ching Hua lowers the arms he threw up as the white light fades out into nothing around him. Luo Bingha looks both furious and fascinated. Now why wouldn't that work on you? The man wonders accusingly. Shang Shishu, please share with this disciple. What do you know that I don't? Airplane shooting towards the sky doesn't answer that. Fuck, he was right. Proud immortal demon Wei, as he wrote it, is a shit world. Luo Bingha raises Xin Mo, his eyes and forehead burning red. Shang Ching Hua flees, and his protagonist follows. Where are you going? Luo Bingha calls after him, with a sound like laughter, knocking through a wall without any care for the intricate decorations or priceless treasures. Shang Qinghua, there's no escaping this place. I'll find you. Tell me how you came here and what you know. Through a dozen walls, through the floor at one point, and then back up again. And then Shang Qinghua finally reaches the hallway he arrived in. His heart is pounding in its ears. This is the worst mission. Take me back, he hisses. Take me back, you useless piece of shit. Crack. The doors at the other end of the hallway swing open. Let's talk, Luo Bingha calls out, cajoling now. Stop running and speak to me, and perhaps old hurts can be forgiven. All that condemnation and betrayal is so far in the past now. This lord can be merciful, Shang Qinghua. Just speak. How many things have you been hiding? Ding! Mission stage complete! Death of the author. Bonus. Through the looking glass. Shang Qinghua falls out of the shitty, no-good, creepy mirror. Holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, he thinks. He feels like he's still being chased. Bro, he can't fucking follow me, right? Should I smash the mirror? I will totally smash the glass here. I'd rather take the consequences of that than die at the hands of my own monster. Shang Qinghua takes some deep breaths to calm his poor, weak heart and nearly falls to the floor anyway, but he catches himself. And then a large, cold hand wraps around his arm to steady him. It's the cold that keeps him from lashing out and probably breaking his own hand. Instead, he looks up, heart still pounding in his ears, into the frowning face of Mo Bei Jun. Oh, you have the worst timing, Shang Qinghua breathes. Mo Bei Jun's expression twitches, and he lets go. No! Shang Qinghua chases the hand with his own, catching it before the man can get too far. My king, I'm so glad to see you. Thank you for finally coming. I have so much to say, he says quickly. Before he realizes that he's essentially holding Mo Bei Jun's hand for no reason now. Ah, now, that's something he never would have dared to do 20 years ago. And carefully drops it. He takes a deep breath, trying to calm the panic still racing through his veins, and then promptly realizes that Mo Bei Jun is here. The demon lord is here, in his secret basement. Shang Qinghua glances at the ladder and the open hole in the floor. My king, did you climb down here looking for me?
Yes.
Mo Bei Jun answers, looking around with sharp eyes. He doesn't seem to be very impressed with what he's seeing.
What is this place?
My basement, Shang Qinghua answers, leaving out the part where he didn't even know he had one until about an hour ago. The system is determined to make him look like a bit of a madman, huh? It's just... just some artifacts and tools. I don't really come down here a lot. Mo Bei Jun finishes studying the room, then stares at him again, his gaze more piercing than ever.
The future concerns you this much, he says.
Shang Qinghua is totally prepared to deny everything, but the phrasing of that cuts off every story he might try to tell. He glances around the room, full of these broken, desperate, stolen things. It's reflecting. Yes, he admits hoarsely, then coughs. My king, we should talk.
Yes,
Mo Bei Jun agrees. But, not here. I don't like it here.
Yes.
Shang Qinghua looks back at the silver looking glass, reflecting only his own fearful face.
and tells himself he's not going back there for anything.
Bro, nothing can come through there, right? He demands silently. There's no way!
No.
A hand at Shang Qinghua's elbow makes him startle. Mo Beijun withdraws the hand quickly.
Right, my king, I'm coming. I just have to...
Seeing the system's pop-up window shift back to a familiar mission notification, Shang Qinghua fumbles in his robes for the Weeper's Eye, which he's supposed to place on the pedestal in this horrible room. I just have to leave this here first.
Shang Qinghua isn't surprised when the special item speaks again as soon as it's back in his hand. Why would it shut up now, after all?
He has no name but the position he has been promised to, which he may not live to see.
The Weeper's Eye says, which pulls Shang Qinghua's gaze back to the Demon Lord waiting for him.
His father uses him as a tool. His mother is long departed. His uncle wants him dead. He has known long that these broken promises cannot be undone, but he knows new promises may yet be made. He may yet have something for himself.
Mo Beijun is frowning at the crystal eye in Shang Qinghua's hand, looking between it and Shang Qinghua's own face. He's not dressed up the same way he was the last time Shang Qinghua saw him. No especially fancy robes or ornaments or jewelry. He looks like himself this time.
If these ones are not kept, there will be nothing for the nameless man who will be king.
Shang Qinghua doesn't move.
Shang Qinghua,
Mo Beijun says finally,
I will not hurt you.
Shang Qinghua's gaze snaps from the crystal eye in his hand, back to the Demon Lord standing by the exit to his secret basement.
We will speak,
Mo Beijun says solemnly, slowly, like someone repeating the lines of a script.
I wish to be understood by you. I have not known how, yet I must try now, in my own words, and you must listen.
Shang Qinghua swallows. The anger, the frustration breaking through at the end there sounds more like the man he knows. He's pretty sure that's meant to be a request, but it sounds like an order. He puts the Weeper's Eye down. He's really sick of this thing. He doesn't want to carry it around all the time. It only tells him things he knows anyway. Mission stage complete. Death of the Author Part 2. The Secret Basement of Shang Qinghua. Shang Qinghua follows Mo Beijun out of the basement, removing the spiritual seal from the wall, which makes the creepy basement entrance disappear, then replacing the flower that covered it. He hesitantly follows the Demon Lord back to the main room of his leisure house. He has no idea how to stand, suddenly, or where to stand. Mo Beijun looks very determined.
So, should we sit?
No,
Mo Beijun replies. Then abruptly says,
Shang Qinghua, you do not have to fear me. I do not wish to cause you any pain, now or in the future.
Shang Qinghua stares, wide-eyed. That's not something that he ever expected to hear explicitly. Good. It's good, though. Very good. It's great, really. Thank you, he says, stunned. I don't want to cause you pain either.
You have shown as much. Many times.
This is probably not the time for a, yes, I did tell you so, in any form. Instead, trying to remember all the speeches he prepared while waiting, Shang Qinghua says, you have too, in your own way. I just, my king, the last time you visited was a,
It was a very bad day for me. I apologize for my behavior. I was speaking from a place of
fear.
Mo Beijun interrupts darkly.
Well deserved.
Ah, well.
You believed that I would hurt you in your state.
Mo Beijun says. It was a very bad and confused state, my king.
You do not trust me.
Shang Qinghua's voice dries up on him. He wouldn't put it that way exactly. That sounds pretty terrible when said in such a blunt way. They've moved past that, haven't they? It's more that he trusts different people with different things. He trusts Luo Jiahui to be Luo Jiahui and Liu Qingge to be Liu Qingge and Mo Beijun to be Mo Beijun.
I have hurt you before,
Mo Beijun says, looking at him directly.
From a place of fear, of anger, of misunderstanding. I am sorry for this. I will not do so again. I was wrong to treat you in such a way.
Shang Qinghua takes in a deep breath and out again. Fuck, it feels like his eyes are burning.
You have my respect,
Mo Beijun says quietly, urgently, not letting up on getting all of these words out into the open.
You have my regard. You have my trust. Yet I have not shown this in a way that you have understood, so you could not share this. I have demanded your loyalty without being deserving of it.
My king, Shang Qinghua protests, taking a step forward. I should have said.
You did. Many times, in many ways, I did not understand.
I wasn't very clear either.
It was my responsibility to be clear. I must be clear now.
You are being very clear now, Shang Qinghua agrees quickly. If things get any clearer here, if any more of the things they've left unspoken get said, his heart won't be able to take it. Thank you, my king. It means thank you. Mo Beijun nods. He looks relieved. Shang Qinghua knows that cultural differences are a hell of a thing here, but everything being understandable in hindsight didn't make it not fucking hurt. It still hurts, even finally having the apology he never thought he'd get. We've been pretty bad at understanding each other, huh?
It has often seemed as though we were not meant to meet,
the demon lord says softly. Shang Qinghua, who can't imagine getting through his transmigration experience without meeting this man, thinks over all the unknowing irony in that statement. Maybe.
The differences are significant.
Shang Qinghua laughs, almost disbelieving. That's a word for it.
But not impassable.
I hope not.
I have never known what you have wanted from me.
Mo Beijun says next, like a confession.
Your life, you have said, time and again, though I am only alive by your grace, you demand none of what you deserve of me.
I don't think deserve is a good word for this, Shang Qinghua says, which probably isn't the right thing to say, but he's too stunned to come up with anything better. He really didn't prepare for the right conversation here. Sorry, my king. It's just, I don't think I like to think about it in terms of owing anymore, between us. At least, not like some sort of strict balance. I do something nice for you, you owe me. You do something bad to me, I get to hurt you. Not like that. Mo Beijun thinks about it. Sorry, I really don't know what I'm saying.
You are deserving of better than what I have given you,
Mo Beijun insists.
I do not understand you. I have never understood you.
Shang Qinghua feels the same way.
But I would like to,
Mobei Jin says next.
I would, if you would allow it.
Mobei Jin lifts a hand, slowly, and holds it out. Shang Qinghua thinks about it. He thinks about it again. He reaches back and puts his hand in Mobei Jin's own, which is as cool to the touch as always, and moves over his skin carefully. His hold is so light that Shang Qinghua could break it without any issue at all. They stay there, like that, looking at each other, looking at their hands, holding without hurting, after everything. It's such a small gesture. It feels kind of like a miracle.
What do you want, Shang Qinghua?
Mobei Jin says, voice turning up at the end, in the closest thing the man might ever come to helplessness.
What do you want from this?
Shang Qinghua wipes at his burning eyes with his free hand. This is kind of pitiful. Fuck. Mobei Jin lifts his free hand and uses his own sleeve to wipe at Shang Qinghua's tears, like his robes aren't important to him at all.
Ask, the man says in the tone of a promise. You do not have to fear the future. Anything I have to give is yours.
Shang Qinghua gives up on trying to speak and just moves forward to bury his face in Mobei Jun's chest. Fuck it. The demon lord who was supposed to kill his character lets him do it. Mobei Jin holds on to him, arms heavy but still so careful. The man's chest is moving in a sigh that sounds like relief. This really was too many unspoken things to finally say aloud all at once. When Shang Qinghua feels like he has himself more under control, he draws back just far enough to say, My king, will you kiss me? Mobei Jun's expression is already soft, at least by his standards. His gaze turns hooded before he leans down as Shang Qinghua leans up. Shang Qinghua takes the man's face between his hands to kiss him. It feels nice, if uncertain, with the hunger of something a long time coming at the end of it. There's years worth of wanting in this. It has been so fucking long since Shang Qinghua kissed anyone. He breaks the kiss and has to stifle laughter, clinging to the front of Mobei Jun's robes, which the man never closes properly. So now Shang Qinghua is never going to be able to not think about touching it. It's a very nice chest to touch. He knew it would be. Mobei Jun's brow furrows slightly, his hands staying on Shang Qinghua's hips.
What?
Sorry, my king. It's just, this is such a ridiculous detail to get stuck on, but your lips are kind of cold. I've always kind of wondered, Shang Qinghua confesses quietly, without really meaning to say it. Holy shit, he's going to blame saying something like this after that on the fact that he's had a very long and very weird day. Sorry, I'm really tired. It's fine. It's good. Mobei Jin snorts and kisses him again, as if to say, deal with it.